Everybody read while I'm talking. Good morning. Are we a happy people here this morning? Yeah, we've got a lot to celebrate, don't we? We've got an amazing God who paid an amazing price for your salvation. And along with that salvation came a whole lot of truth and promises, and we're going to touch on one of them this morning. Amen? Amen. All right, so I'm just going to dive right in. This morning, I'm going to continue on from what Pastor Sheridan brought last week. And if you were here, if you weren't here, he was talking about our identity in Christ. And he was talking about how powerful that is when we understand our identity, when we're able to accept our identity in Christ. And so this morning, I'm going to continue to talk about identity over the next 4 weeks. So that we can all be on the same page about who we are in Christ and how God sees us and perceives us. And Pastor Sheridan, he made a comment, something like this, and it's not the same, but I just kind of put in my own words. He said, "It's not what you do that determines who you are. It's who you are that determines what you do. It's not what you do that determines who you are. It is who you are that determines what you do." So in other words, for example, your identity is not in what you do for an occupation. All right? If you are a doctor here this morning, you're not identified as a doctor. You are not identified as a garbage man if you collect garbage. All right? Your identity is not found in your occupation. For those of us who are in the body of Christ, we have a complete different identity. And our identity is not found in what we do, but our identity is found in who Christ is. We just moved into our new neighborhood, and we were going around and meeting all the neighbors in the neighborhood, and we met our next-door neighbors, our next-door neighbors were telling us about everybody else. They were pointing at the houses and like, "These people, these people, these people, these people." And in the world we live in, people identify each other by what they do, right? That's just the world that we live in. All the people that you know will identify you for what you do. So our next-door neighbor was pointing at those houses, and he's pointing at the one that was kind of like directly, diagonally across, and he goes, "In that house, we call them the Louds." I was like, "What?" Exactly. The Louds. These people are loud. They're screaming at each other. They're barking in the house, and the whole neighborhood can hear them. So these people were identified as the Louds. They didn't have names. They didn't have names. I don't even know how many kids they had. All I know is that house over there with that roof is the Louds. All right? And that's how the world identifies people, is for what you do and how you conduct yourself. But it's different for the body of Christ. It's different for the body of Christ, because for those of us who have been called and according to God's purposes and who call upon the name of Jesus, our identity is not found in what we do. Our identity is found in who He is. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at who Christ says we are, who God says we are in Christ. Because when you know how God thinks about you and how God sees you, it changes everything. Because included in your identity comes purpose. Included in how God sees you and how He perceives you and who He says you are and the truth about your identity in Christ, all of that identity comes with purpose. There's this amazing transaction that occurs when Jesus becomes the Lord and Savior of our lives and when He becomes our everything. See, before Christ, we all have an identity. And that identity is of a sinner. All right? That identity is of a sinner. Before Christ is in our lives, we're identified as sinners. People who fall short of God's glorious standard. People who are unable to please a perfect and holy God. And then Jesus comes along, comes on the picture, and changes everything. He changes everything. And because of His redemptive work on the cross, we are then transferred from one kingdom and placed into another kingdom. We are thrust from once belonging to this kingdom of darkness where sin was our master and that we had no choice but to obey it. And then we're taken and we're placed into this beautiful eternal kingdom that is ruled by the mind-blowing God, an amazing God. And in this kingdom, everything is different. Including yourself. In this kingdom, you're no longer identified as a sinner, but in this kingdom, you're identified as a saint. You're identified as one of Christ's very own. His righteousness has been given to you, And so you're no longer seen by God as someone who is directly opposed from Him, but you are now seen as someone who is set apart for holy purposes. You are now seen as someone in God's eyes who has been set apart for holy purposes. I brought with me this morning two of my buddies. All right, these are my baseball bats. All right, now these are two bats. Now, if you look, they are almost identical in some respects. All right, they're both made of wood. They were both created for the same purpose: to hit baseballs, to mash balls. Actually, mash balls. Mash. Okay. They were created from wood. They're both made of wood, and they're both created for the same purpose. But there's something different about these bats. One of these bats is special, has a special purpose, and one does not. This bat right here is not special. Well, it's special because it helps me get better. But it's not special like I'm going to tell you this one. Now, this is my batting practice bat. This is meant for the cages, the batting cages. And so when you're in the batting cages, you're swinging and you're hitting balls and you're just crushing balls, and you expect to break a bat in batting practice, because you're working on different techniques and everything like that. So you don't bring a good, awesome bat in there. So this is a lesser quality of bat. This bat is not special to me. I expect it to get smashed in half, okay? I expect it to get broken. This bat is special. This bat is made for the game. All right, this is a higher price was paid, a much higher price was paid for this bat. This is a professional quality bat, all right? High, high price was paid for this. They're both created for the same purpose, but one is set apart for special purposes. I would not bring that thing into a game. This one is set apart for a special purpose. And there it goes. And I believe that the message for us all this morning is to know and to believe and to live out our true identity. And your identity is this: that you have been set apart by God for eternal purposes. You have been set apart from all the other people groups on the earth to be His special treasured possessions, created for a special purpose. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It'll be up there for those of you, for some of you. And I want to look at Paul's greeting to the church in Corinth. And it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth." All right, now when you read those words, "to the church of God in Corinth," whenever you're reading that, pay attention, because this applies to you as well, because we are all part of the same church. We're all part of the same body. So this truth applies to you and I. And Paul's writing this. He says, "To the church of Corinth, of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." And there is no mistake that Paul begins the letter this way. He starts off, he knows what he's about to write them. Now, the church in Corinth was plagued with immorality, and it was just a mess. And he knew he was going to have to touch on some issues. But he's very purposeful in starting this off, because this kind of covers the rest of the letter. He's saying, "Hey guys, don't forget, church, you have been sanctified and you have been called to be holy. You have been set apart from the rest for holy purposes." And so he makes no mistake about this. And he starts off in reminding them of who they are. He begins by reminding them of their identity in Christ. Because he knows that when you know and you understand your identity, when you know and understand the truth about how God sees you, and not how you see you, you're able to make an accurate assessment of whether or not your life is living up with how God sees you. If you know and you're able to understand how God sees you and how God looks at you and how God perceives you and views you, you're able to then take an accurate assessment when you look at your life and say, "Is my life living up with how God sees me?" And so Paul had to address some pretty big things in this church, some pretty big issues. Again, they were plagued with immorality and some whole bunch of ethical problems. But throughout this letter, Paul repeatedly touches on the subject of sanctification. That we have been made holy because of Christ's death and resurrection. It's amazing. And we see a similar greeting from Paul to the church in Ephesus. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, it's a similar greeting here. In verses 3 through 9, it says this. Paul says, "Praise be to God our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." Why? "To be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure." It was according to God's pleasure when he forethought you and he created you. God designed you with his purposes in mind. Think about that. God designed you and created you with his purposes in mind. In accordance with his pleasure. It brought him pleasure to bring you about. It brings God pleasure when he looks at you, his created work, and sees that he created you with his purposes in mind. You have been set apart this morning in Christ for kingdom purposes. Our translated words for the word holy in the Hebrew is kodesh, and in the Greek it's in hagios. And both of these words mean to be set apart. To be set apart. To be separated from the rest for sacred purpose. Separated from all the rest for a sacred purpose. God purposely created you. Nobody in here is a mistake. He purposely created you. God thought about you from the beginning of the world, that you would be set apart from all the rest for his sacred purposes, his glorious kingdom, eternal purposes. Wow. Wow. I don't want anyone to miss this here, because it changes the way you live your life. And if you can accept how God sees you this morning, and if you can see yourself through God's perspective and not your own perspective or someone else's perspective of something somebody said about you, if you can accept that, I can tell you from experience that it unlocks your potential in Christ. It unlocks something. When you're able to embrace the truth about how God sees you and your identity in Christ, it unlocks a capacity within you for God to use you for those holy and sacred purposes. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays this prayer for us. He even prays that we would be sanctified. If you remember in John 17, just before Jesus was arrested, he's praying to the Father, and he says this to the Father. "Father, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it." He's talking about you guys. And he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for them I sanctify myself," he says, "that they too may be truly sanctified." Again, that word sanctified means to be set apart for holy purposes. Other translations of this, of Jesus' prayer says, "Father, make them holy by your truth. I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth." There's a similar word used in the Old Testament to describe the vessels and the tools and the instruments and the clothing and the priests of the tabernacle. If you remember in Exodus chapter 20, Exodus 40, these objects that they set aside, these vessels and two tools used in the tabernacle, were sanctified. They were consecrated. They were made holy. Now, it is important to understand, everyone understand this, please, that the vessels themselves and the instruments themselves were not holy, but it's that they were set aside for holy purposes. And the Lord wants you to know this morning, wants all of you to know this morning, that you have been set apart for holy purposes. The Word of God does not tell us to be separate from the world just for the sake of being separate. We have been separated from all the other people groups on earth to be used for the King's holy and sacred purposes. This is who you are. You are holy in God's sight because of what Jesus did. You are justified because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so therefore, you are declared not guilty in God's eyes. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior and He lives within you, you are seen as not guilty in the eyes of God. That is freedom. You have been set apart for holy use. Again, before Christ, we were identified as sinners. People who missed the mark, who constantly missed the mark, people who could not live up to God's standard. And now you're identified as a saint. Someone who is holy and without fault in God's eyes. Wow. Wow. There are two uses for the word sanctification in the Bible, and the first is the one we've been talking about. It's because of Christ's incredible accomplishment on the cross. That incredible work on the cross and us being united with Him, we are seen by God in a sanctified position. That means that you have received this position of sanctification where God sees you not as a sinner, but He now sees you as someone covered by the righteousness of Christ. That is powerful. No longer does God see you as a sinner, but He sees you as someone who is covered by the righteousness of Christ. And because you're in Christ, you've been set apart for His holy purposes. And just like the instruments used in the service of the tabernacle, the candlesticks, the incense, the altar, even the Ark of the Covenant, yet when those things were not holy in and of themselves, but when they were set aside to be used for the worship of God, they became holy in a positional sense. I'm going to use this illustration again. Imagine this as a beautiful goblet. It's a goblet, okay? We're in the tabernacle service. And this goblet is not holy in and of itself. But when it is set aside to be used for the worship of God, it becomes holy simply by its position. In other words, they were holy because they were set aside from all the rest. They were holy because they were separated to be used for the worship of God. You are sanctified this morning because you have been set apart for the worship of God. And when I say worship, please understand I'm not talking about just songs and singing and raising hands in worship, but I'm talking about a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. So what that means is that your life, you have been set apart for worship of God in everything you do. Your incomplete lifestyle should be of a life that worships God, that glorifies Him, brings Him glory, brings Him praise, brings Him honor. That is a lifestyle of worship. And each and every one of you, your entire life has been set apart. From the moment you accepted Christ into your life, from that very moment you were set apart from all the rest to be used for some holy purposes. Wow. This is who you are. There's a second usage of the word sanctify, and that word is used to describe the continual work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, where we are continually and progressively being made holy in our nature and in our character. We spent the whole summer kind of talking about that, didn't we? About allowing the Holy Spirit to constantly be changing us and molding us into Christ's likeness. That is the other usage of that word sanctification, where we're on this constant process through this life where we are surrendering to the Holy Spirit, we're walking with Christ, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to make us like Christ. And the Bible is very clear that it says that won't come to completion until Jesus returns. So understand that we're all still in this process of our nature and our character becoming like Christ. But in a positional sense, simply because you have been justified by what Christ has done on the cross, you have been made holy and blameless in God's eyes. And so when you have been made set apart and made holy and blameless and without fault in God's eyes, that means you are now set apart from all the rest for some holy purposes. This is powerful stuff, guys, because it applies to you. This is who you are. This is your identity. You have been set apart for holy use. You have been called into God's holy purposes, set aside from all the rest to be used for His service. And friends, this is the most honored position you could ever have. This is the most honored position you could ever have. The fact that God of the universe sees you and I as a worthy vessel to be used for His purposes blows me away. Blows me away. Liz, could I ask you to come on up? Just you, hon, please. Thank you. Isn't she cute? She's so cute. I believe the Lord is doing some work here today. I really do. I believe that the Holy Spirit is bringing revelation to some. This is fresh and new to a lot of people, but for other people, it's something that we just need to be reminded of. We have to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, because there's so much that comes with it. It changes the way we live. It's who we are that determines our course of action. And I want to finish up by going back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And just to put a little context in what Paul is going to say here, Paul is trying to resolve a dispute among some of the fellow believers in this church in Corinth. And it's almost like he gets frustrated, and he sees the urge to remind them once again of who they are in Christ. Remember, he did it in the greeting. We read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Right off the bat, he reminded them, hey guys, don't forget who you are. Before I say all these things that I'm about to say, don't forget who you are. You are holy and you are sanctified because of what Christ has done. And then he goes on for about five chapters. And then he gets to chapter 6. And he sees this urge to repeat himself in a sense. And he says this. I'm going to read from verses 9 all the way through 11. He says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, or the idolaters, or the adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanders, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And I believe this is the word for some people here this morning. That is what some of you used to be. I'll even lump us all into this category. At one point, we were all some sort of idolaters, adulterers, greedy, slanderers. That everything in there almost identifies me. But what the word of the Lord is for you today is that is what some of you were. But I told the early service, this is my favorite word in the Bible. But every time you see a but, there's some big old revelation that comes after it. And I said, be looking out for a series in the future called Great Buts in the Bible. And that is what some of you were. Drunkards, slanderers, thieves, adulterers, idolaters. But you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That's what some of you were. But please hear me this morning. That is not who you are anymore. That's who you were. that your sins have been washed away, and you've been set apart by God for holy use, and you've been declared not guilty. This is who you are in God's eyes. I'm asking you, I'm charging you, believe it. Grab a hold of it, and most importantly, live this out. Soak on it this week. What does it mean? God, what do you mean that I'm set apart for you? You have been set apart by God for holy purposes. Now trust me, I understand how difficult it can be to believe this. It takes faith to believe this. To believe that God sees me this way, because when I look at myself in the mirror, that is not what I see. And I struggled for a long time, to accept this. But I want you to understand that this truth is just as much truth as Jesus dying on the cross. As a matter of fact, his death on the cross allowed all this to be happening for you. God sees you as a worthy instrument, set apart for his eternal purposes. This is not a message for preachers and pastors and elders. This is a gospel for everybody. This is a truth that applies to everybody. And I know from experience that denying these truths from taking hold in your life prevents you from seeing your full potential in Christ. When you deny this and say, no, that's not what I see. When I look in the mirror, that's not the person that I see. I don't see somebody who's set apart and holy and without fault. I know from experience that denying that truth prevents you from being able to see what God wants to do in and through you. Imagine the capacity that gets unlocked when you accept these truths about who you are in God's eyes. If you allow your own perspective to completely void out God's perspective, or if you allow your own perspective to completely erase and eliminate God's perspective, then you're going to miss out on a lot of blessing. Don't allow your past or your history to define who you are, because that is what some of you were. But your sins have been washed away. You have been set apart by God for holy purposes. And you have been declared not guilty of anything you've ever done in his eyes. So don't doubt that this truth applies to you just because you cannot see it for yourself. God sees this about you. And his perspective is the only perspective that counts. The only one that matters. So I want to encourage you this morning to grab a hold of this truth of how God sees you in his eyes. Believe it, grab a hold of it, embrace it, and most importantly, walk it out. Live it out on a day-to-day basis. Because of Christ's redemptive work on the cross, you have been set apart to be a holy vessel, pure for the Master's use. Amen? Amen. Now I'm just going to pray, and after I pray, we're just going to close out the service. Feel free to go after I pray. If you would like prayer individually, I'll stay up here. If not, please feel free to fellowship with each other on the other side or in here. If you would like to spend time in here with the Lord, you're more than welcome to do that. Please get to know each other, fellowship with one another. Embrace and cultivate the diversity among us. Amen. But I'm going to pray. I'm just going to close the service in this prayer for all of us. And then please just feel free to leave. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what your Son did on the cross. I thank you for loving us enough, as much as you do, to send him to die for us. God, we are a grateful people that because of his blood that covers us and his righteous life that covers us, we are now seen as a holy people who have been set apart for your purposes. And that we're seen as without fault in your eyes. God, I understand. I know how difficult this can be to believe this. You know the struggle I had with believing this for a long time. And God, I pray for everyone in here right now who may be doubting that this truth applies to them. That if they accepted Jesus into their life, and He is the Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, I pray that there will be a revelation by the power of Your Holy Spirit right now in this very moment. I'm asking You to open their eyes, their hearts, increase the capacity of their faith right now, Lord Jesus, to believe and to accept and to live out their identity in You. Their identity that they have been set apart. That they are Your special treasured possessions that You have set apart from all the other people, groups in the world to be used for Your holy purposes, Lord. And Your holy purposes are that Your kingdom would be expressed throughout this earth. That Your kingdom would include all the people who would accept Your love. God, we've been called into this purpose. To revealing who You are to this world. To make Your name famous. To proclaim Your word. To proclaim Your truth. Lord God, You have given each and every one of us the ability to do that. Because Your Spirit lives within us. I thank You for each and every person in this place right now. I thank You, Lord, that You are doing a transforming work within a lot of us right now. You're awesome, and we give You everything, God. You're worthy of all of our lives, everything that we are, God. You have set us apart for Your worship. And so we give You our lives yet again. We commit ourselves to You in Jesus' powerful, precious, and holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.